everybody. We begin this morning with the Easter acclamation. You'll find it on page 201. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And so we pray, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord,
have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. As those who acknowledge the supremacy of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. We pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. the appointed prayer for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sit for the reading of the epistle.
During this Easter season, we hear something of the life and witness of the first Christians. The epistle is from Acts 9, verses 36 to 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood behind him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain tanner, Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Comfort me. You spread a table before During Jesus' human lifetime, most people did not perceive him to be the expected Messiah. In this reading, as so often, Jesus points to the things he does as signs of who he is. To those who see and follow, there is his promise of eternal life. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. There was a tense atmosphere in the gospel story we've just heard from John. We've all been in tense situations. We've all been in those situations that can be awkward, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to say. It may be awaiting news. It may be awaiting results. It may be because of uncertainties. And when you're there, everybody's a little bit tense and just not knowing what words to use. Well, in the gospel reading today, it was a tense situation, not helped by the fact that it was a very cold winter's day. And when you're out and about on a cold winter's day, you want to make your way quickly and efficiently, and you don't want to have to be kept in suspense, and you don't want to have to be kept waiting, not for a moment longer than necessary. And so Jesus is there, the crowds are there, they're all cold, and Jesus is being asked so many questions, rapid-fire questions, and an answer was required now. An immediate response was required. And we can sense in the tense situation, in the sheer number of questions, people are cold, there is a certain amount of agitation. We've all been there. We've all had to give a response quickly to a situation. Perhaps that comes in an unexpected doorbell ring. Perhaps it's an email. Perhaps it's a text message. Or perhaps somebody walks into where you are. "Could you just answer this? I know you're busy." But an answer would be helpful. And the trouble with that is, you can give an answer, but with the benefit of hindsight, perhaps the wrong answer. And that can unravel a whole lot of other issues that then have to be addressed. The immortal words, "If only I'd held back. If only I'd given more thought. If only I hadn't said those words." Jesus gives an answer. He responds, but perhaps not quite the response those crowds were expecting on this cold winter's day. And the answer Jesus gave was this: "I have told you, and you do not believe." We can see why they were not expecting that particular answer. And they were getting colder, they were getting more and more frustrated, and that's the response Jesus gives. Then he goes on to add a few more words to unpack what he's just said. The works which I do in my Father's name testify to me. How true those words are for you and for me, as well as those people who were there gathered on that cold winter's day. Is it not the case that our true identity is displayed much more in our actions than in our words? If we think of the week that has just passed, how have we displayed our true identity? Where has Christ been in all of our thinking, in all of our speaking, and in all of our doing? Has Christ been to the forefront? Because, you see, words, we can just say them. We can just give that trite saying. We can just say those words of platitude and walk on. Because really, perhaps, we're not too bothered or we're not too concerned. But actions take a lot more effort. We have to do something, we have to go somewhere, or we have to assist in some way when we're there. That means so much more. As someone once said to me many years ago, they said, John, when you are visiting, people may well forget what it is that you said. But the one thing they would never forget is that you were there. And that is why in this parish, for myself and the assistant priests, visiting is so important. Simply to be there by our presence, to endeavour to offer support as best we can, rather than perhaps the text message reply or the email reply, which might not be read for some time. This week, all of us have an opportunity to do something positive in our actions by focusing on Christian Aid. This week, an opportunity to give back something what God's first given to us, to help those who are in great need. And all of you in your pew news sheets today have got the Christian Aid envelopes to make a contribution, to assist. And I encourage you to do so, if not this week, but next week. Christ speaks of those who follow him. You do not believe, he says, because you do not belong to my sheep. The role of the shepherd, focused, attention, looking after, guiding, ensuring those in the shepherd's care were not going to wander off and get lost or be stolen or fall into dangerous environments. Likewise, as followers of Christ, we need protecting too. We need looking after in the challenging circumstances of daily life. And we know of all of those challenges and the issues, how easy to be diverted and to wander off on a path all of our own choosing and will, and get further and further away from the way of Christ. Our actions and our words are so important. Christ, like all good shepherds, knows every one of his sheep and cares for them conscientiously and in a very focused way, ensuring that they are not lost, known unto God. Many, many years ago now, in my early days as rector of Carriduff, a situation arose upon which no amount of theological training could go any way to offer the support that was going to be needed. Those of you over here on this side of Belfast would have read in the papers and heard the news about the location of a young baby that was found sadly dead in Carriduff area, a baby that had been abandoned. It came to the clergy of Carriduff to respond as best we could in most unprecedented circumstances and situations. There was a police murder inquiry underway. The media were everywhere. The family were nowhere to be seen or heard of. And the funeral had to be conducted. And one of the things that I was saying to the police as we were making preparations for that service was, we don't even have a name for this baby. We don't even have a family who know this baby coming. And the role of the media was to offer support at that service without being intrusive, with the permission of the police, to try to speak to the family who were not there as we gathered for the service. And that was the first time I've ever taken a funeral service where the family were not there, but may well have been watching on their television screens somewhere else. And one of the things that I said in the sermon at that funeral service was this: baby Carrie, as she was called from Carrie Duff, was known unto God in a way that we need to hear afresh, because all of us have our families around us. All of us have our friends around us who know us and who know us very well and who can come and offer support and assistance when required. But what of a newly born baby that was found dead? There was no family. There were no friends. And in fact, as it happened, in a most wonderful way, the community of Carrie Duff came together as her family and came in huge numbers on the day of her funeral service as we commended her to God. And on her headstone in the cemetery where she is buried are those words, "Known unto God." All of us, despite the speed upon which we operate, despite the speed upon which we go about our life and our work, are known unto God. But how focused are we on the things of God as we are racing in sixth gear with platitudes and trite sayings and missing the point and not perhaps offering the support that is required because we are simply too busy? How focused are we on God? How focused are we in the needs of other people? Because at that time in Carrie Duff, I saw support and compassion in a most profound and direct way. People, irrespective of the religious divide, coming together as one family, united in their grief to offer support, commending baby Carrie back to God, known unto God. Each one of us has a responsibility. Each one of us has an opportunity to serve Christ faithfully and conscientiously, not just when it suits us and how good we can be when it suits us, but that might not be suitable for the person we're speaking to or the person to whom they are in difficulty. We have that role to be open and to be there, not just in words, which we can, as I say, rattle off far too fast, but to stop and to think and to do something practical. Followers of Christ are, as we heard in that reading, secure, as we heard, no one can snatch them from his hand. But are we with God? God is always with us, but we are not always with him. As we gather shortly to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, may we come afresh, the beginning of a new week, with perhaps all of us individually and collectively as a parish here in St. Columba's Knock to do better. What can we do that we're not doing? What support can we give that we're not giving? And can we be more focused on the needs of one another, the needs of our community? As you approach Ballyhackamore from Holland Park, and I encourage you all to approach Ballyhackamore through Holland Park, there is graphic art. I won't use the word graffiti, but there's graphic art on the side of a building. And it is very, very profound. And every time I read it, I stop and I reflect and I think. The people you are speaking to, the people that you are meeting, you do not know what battles are going on in their own life, in their own world. And we don't. The question is, how do we respond to those whom we meet? Maybe compassion, maybe love, maybe care, maybe understanding need to be expressed more fully, day and daily. Known unto God, we are. May we go forward and live accordingly with the support of the sacrament of Holy Communion, the spiritual food, so we can go forward and live and work to God's praise and glory. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed it is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Let us pray. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, we will be using the second form of intercessions, which can be found on page 238 of the Book of Common Prayer, or on page 151 of the large print edition. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church of Korea. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Dromore. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray today for the Church of Ireland General Synod, which takes place in Londonderry this coming week. We pray for the Archbishop of Armagh and for the House of Bishops. We pray that Synod members, clerical and lay, would be guided into wise decisions that are true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless Harold, our Bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. We pray also for our select vestry, office bearers, and parish staff. Bless everyone in our parish at St. Columba's and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of creation, look with favour upon the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. And bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We pray for those in authority and leadership, that they respect and care for all people and for the natural resources of our country. Help us to respect one another's differences and to learn from other cultures. We pray for reconciliation between those who disagree and a commitment to understand and respect each other's point of view. In the light of the United Nations report on the loss of biodiversity, we pray for leaders and all people to take appropriate action to preserve our world for future generations. Lord, grant our leaders wisdom, bring our politicians insight, help them to work together to serve all in this land now and in the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Lord, we pray for all those who are preparing for examinations. We also hold in our prayers all who face changes in their lives and those who face uncertainty in their personal or working lives. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering or injured. Be with those who have any special need. We pray for all those known to us who have had surgery recently, and all those receiving chemotherapy and radiotherapy. We remember in our prayers today all who attend our cancer centres and all who await treatment plans. Give strength and encouragement to all patients, their family, and friends. We give thanks to all medical and caring staff in our communities and hospitals. And deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of eternity, we remember before you all who are coping with grief. Bind us together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace. Yours the great, the mercy and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Above all, we praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us. By dying he destroyed our death, by rising he restored our life. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name. forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Thank you.
and sacrament, we proclaim your truth in Jesus Christ and share his life. In his strength, may we ever walk in his way, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always. Amen.
Tomorrow afternoon, the afternoon group meet at 2:30 at the choir vestry for an end of term party, and let's hope the weather keeps good for it. I do want to thank Joy Montgomery and Rosemary Coffey for all they do throughout the year to organise wonderful activities for our more senior parishioners who really enjoy the fellowship and the catching up one with another. So well done to you both, and to all the members. I hope you can come along tomorrow afternoon for a time of chat and also some fun. On behalf of Tony and Clodagh Reid, I want to thank all those of you who went out to their home in Cumber to support the Action Focus coffee morning, coffee afternoon on Thursday. It was wonderful to see so many parishioners from St. Columba's there, and I know Tony and Clodagh are most grateful for the support from this parish, and not just from St. Columba's, but from the wider community and also from all those around Cumber and beyond. The amount raised was £9,000, and that was terrific. And that money will go such a long way to help with cancer research and the support for all those who are receiving much-needed treatment. So well done to everyone. And to Tony and Clodagh, I hope you had a quiet Friday after all those who were there on Thursday. Just a reminder that you'll have seen notices in Knock Methodist Church about Phil Coulter's concert. It's on Friday evening. There are still some tickets available. If you would like to go, you're very welcome, and the contact details are there. And a reminder, do please support Christian Aid. Our final hymn, number 250, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Oh,
Alleluia, alleluia.